It's Writer's Day. It's awesome Writer's Day on Downtown. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us. Hello there, Mr. Finn.
I'm the JV game for Travis. I'm hanging up right now.
Well, if it helps, though, David Roth then was the freshman game.
Oh, we're doing all this. I can't complain about anything then.
No.
Yeah, ignore everything I said. Travis is awesome. We actually went to UMaine together, although I was a little bit ahead of him.
You, Travis, you're all great. We love all three of you guys. Let's see, what to talk about? Is it snowing like crazy down your way?
Yeah, I'm in Bath today, and it is coming down pretty hard right now. We got a lot of rain earlier, but sounds like other places got it worse.
Nothing but snow up here, and I'd say we're up over a foot now.
Oh, not that much here. No, I'd say maybe 6 or 7. But I'm up here. My dad, my wife, and son back in Wells lost power. So a bunch of trees down there. So it's a mess. It's a mess for sure.
Yikes. Well, speaking of messes, winter weekend, the big Red Sox celebration. Not the reaction that the John Henry and Heim Bloom expected from the Fenway faithful.
No, I think, do we dare say it was a wake-up call? Probably not. But, you know, those crowds for those things tend to be the, obviously, the real loyalists. It's like the same thing with, like, our baseball writers' dinner that we used to do every year. It's people looking forward to baseball and throwing down a few bucks to come out and talk about their favorite team. In the middle of winter, and it was different this year. They weren't going to talk about their team. They were going to vent about their team and to let the people in charge know just how frustrated they were with how things are going. So I thought it was hilarious and appropriate.
And what a wonderful time to share with those hardcore fans that you're increasing ticket prices.
Well, as you know, rich baseball players are expensive.
Yeah, but not the kind they get, though.
No, yeah. No, I don't think you meant Adam Duvall there, did he? Or Jorge Alfaro and his Worcester contract. But theoretically, Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts would have cost a lot if they kept them. And Rafael Devers certainly will over these next 10 years. But, yeah, I really do believe that they lacked awareness on how frustrated their core fan base was until they got in front of them. I mean, John Henry doesn't really talk to the media. You know, the running joke is that the last media availability he did was in Fort Myers a couple of years ago with the morning guys on WJB down in Portland. He hasn't really spoke to anyone since. So it's possible that he's just sort of the last 6 months, a year or so, a little bit detached from how fans really feel about things, particularly the way last season ended, and then, of course, with Bogaerts not really getting a legitimate contract offer and moving on to the Padres for a ton of money.
Adam Duvall feels to me like a desperate attempt to find the lightning in a bottle they got when they signed Hunter Renfro a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's very similar. He's the surprise, I think, when you look at his hitting profile, hits a lot of home runs. Low batting average guy, you think, DH type, but he's actually a good outfielder. He's done a gold glove before, and he's playable in center field, which allows him to plug Kike Hernandez in a shortstop, which isn't ideal, really. He's a better center fielder, and I think shortstop's probably harder physically on him, and he's had that hip injury last year. I'm not sure it's the best idea to put him at that, where he's going to be turning double plays and such, but Duvall is fairly quality player, and it almost feels like they've gotten kind of lucky that someone like that, who you can at least pencil in against left-handers and count on him to hit a few over the monster, was available, because they're really picking the bottom of the barrel here, like, trying to fill out the rest of their roster.
So whenever I hear Chris Sale, he's feeling great, little hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I don't know what that's about.
Well, he hasn't got hit by a snowblower yet or had an anvil fall on him or anything like that this offseason. So, I'm confident, actually, about him. I know I'm in the minority there, but I thought he looked really good for the 6 innings he pitched last year. whatever it was, he came back and had that good start, and then got hit in the hand, and it was over. He tends to have these injuries beyond the Tommy John surgery, obviously, which probably was a long time coming. He tends to have these injuries that are kind of blunt force, flukish sort of things. And if he can avoid those and not the wily coyote kind of accidents that he tends to have, I think he can be a pretty high-quality pitcher for them again. I was encouraged by what I saw, and I was encouraged by what Alex Cora said about him. Cora doesn't really BS about that kind of stuff. And he was really excited about having him back last year, noting that his changeup was back and all those things. So I think we're going to see a pretty good version of him. Maybe I'm an idiot, but that's what I think.
Well, I hope you're right, because when I hear him talk, in my mind, I picture Kevin Bacon in Animal House saying, all is well, right before he gets run over by the Delta House float in the homecoming parade.
That's more of a Shaughnessy type of reference than one for me, but he mentions Animal House in every fourth column, but it's absolutely a perfect analogy. And he was a pretty durable pitcher for a long time, given what his people always thought he was an arm injury waiting to happen because of his delivery. But boy, is he made up for that on the other end the last couple of years. And that contract he signed when they didn't really have to sign it, when he had a year left, hamstrung the organization in a lot of different ways. So they need a good season out of Sale, and Sale needs to deliver a good season.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Is this Bill O'Brien thing going to get done? Is he the new offensive coordinator?
Seems that way, yeah. It's kind of gotten really quiet. You haven't heard his name mentioned in association with other jobs. I think it would be a big surprise if he ended up elsewhere. I know people thought he might end up with the Titans because he's close to Mike Vrabel, but sounds like pretty close to a sure thing he's going to end up here, which would be the ideal. I mean, he was a very good coach here. You hear some criticism. Yeah, well, they didn't win anything while he was the offensive coordinator. Well, they were 2 minutes away from going undefeated when he was the offensive coordinator. And if the defense had made a play, they would have won that Super Bowl. So he's really good at his job. He's got a history with Mac Jones. He didn't coach him, but they worked together when O'Brien took over as offensive coordinator. Mac consulted with him about learning the playbook. So there's already a relationship there. I think it would be the best thing for the Patriots, best thing for Mac Jones, and hopefully is resolved here in the next couple of days.
Well, and obviously somebody, whether it's a Belichick or Bob Kraft, does not want Gerard Mayo going somewhere else. Does he become the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, it sounds like he's in on the interviews for offensive coordinator too. So he's got a little bit of clout there. I've always thought it was bad form not to give guys the title. I mean, Belichick was asked about that once. Patricia didn't have it. Mayo's never really had it. The duties are sort of split up between him and Steve Belichick. But somebody asked Belichick, Bill Belichick once, well, did the title matter to you when you were a young coach? And you could see the steam coming out of his ears, because of course it did. It helps them circumvent the Rooney rule
right,
a bit when a guy doesn't, like Patricia didn't get the title this year, so they didn't have to interview other people for the job. And it also kind of holds them back a little bit. Well, go for a job interview like Gerard Mayo. Were you the coordinator? Well, yeah, but I didn't have the title. And it makes you think, maybe something wasn't up to par or something like that. But I think those kind of things are going to be changed this year. And it seems like Bill's on board with all of it. So that's good. I think lessons were learned from this season.
So what happens with Tom Brady after this tough ending to the season?
Well, I think it's absurd to think he's coming back here. I mean, picture him being the quarterback this year and throwing in Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. And you thought he was angry throwing in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, Come back to this crew. They throw a two-yard pass to Jonu Smith that gains a yard. So I don't know. It's going to be – I think he obviously plays. It sounds like he said his goodbyes in Tampa. If not officially, then it's the way that his teammates are interpreting it for sure. Raiders seem like a logical landing spot. The Jets would be pretty interesting. They have a good roster and a terrible QB situation. I think he can still play at a pretty high level. He made some bad throws in that playoff game where it just came up short, and maybe the arm strength isn't what it used to be, but he's still one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and probably can be counted on that to be that again for another year or two.
Boy, watching the game yesterday, it just solidified to me that I think Greg Olsen is perhaps the best NFL analyst there is out there on TV right now.
You're giving away my Sunday media column.
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
I agree. And even better, he's not Tony Romo, who doesn't complete a sentence anymore.
No.
I don't know what happened to that guy. But, yeah, Olsen's terrific. I thought he was really good in the last couple minutes when he was right in the moment as it was happening. He was really laying out how the Cowboys were watching the clock and their mismanagement and sort of what they should be doing. He was right on top of it when Dalton Schultz made one of his two boneheaded plays and didn't get both feet down. I just thought he was really sharp, and it's not in retrospect. It's as things are unfolding, which is pretty rare. So I was going to write it this week until the Red Sox Nesson booth stuff kind of bumped it to the side. But Tom Brady is not going to be any better, not even going to be close to as good, I should say, as Olsen is right now when he eventually becomes the number one guy for Fox. So it's a pleasant problem for Fox to have, but Olsen is really, really good at this and deserves to be in that number one spot.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us on Downtown. Thank you, as always, Chad. Travel safely out there, and we'll visit with you again next week.
Thanks, Rich. Enjoy the rays and sunshine up there.
Yeah, any month now, I'm sure. See you, Chad.
All right, bye-bye.
Chad Finn, Downtown.